One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 10, Book 130 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this.
Let's take a moment to think of the world that we live in, of just how small it really is. Now, say you're about to be stationed in Great Britain. You'll be associating with people who are friends and allies of the United States. They're good sportsmen, and are quick to recognize good sportsmanship wherever they meet it. In short, they'll be very much like you in many ways. But for quite a while, beginning with World War II and continuing for years after the war, the British people lived under stringent rationing and had to do without many things. However, they showed a cheerfulness and determination born out of suffering and the knowledge that it was shared by all. Conditions are much better today, but remember that Britain is not a land of abundant natural resources like the United States. She has to import food and raw materials, and in order to pay for them, she must export manufactured goods. Consequently, since there are still some shortages, don't feel put out if you can't obtain everything that you want. You'll find that in small towns, there's not much to do on Sunday. So why not spend the afternoon in the beautiful countryside or visit one of the interesting little village churches? If you're friendly to the Britons and show respect for their customs and laws, they, in turn, will respect you. Remember, the only way to have a friend is to be one.
Today, a front page party. Not only caterers, but Joan's maid, Zeppelin, the barber's housekeeper, Mrs. Kettleman, and the Lacey's housekeeper, Mrs. McCullough, all rallied around to help the Murrays this evening after the official count for Dan's and Hazel's party reached a staggering total of 102 expected guests. Zeppelin meets Dan Murray at the kitchen door as he comes in from the office.
Yes, sir, Mr. Murray, that's why I'm here.
I see.
Other people that your Mr. Duckworth invited kept calling up and calling up.
I see, Zeppelin. We'll have enough to take care of them. Where's Mrs. Murray?
She's in the tub. She's got kind of a headache.
Yes, Jack's here with the expeditions.
I'll send somebody out to the car, Mr. Barber.
Evening, Father Barber.
Yeah, Daniels. Good luck.
Thank you. You'll excuse me. I'm on my way up to get dressed.
Yes.
What about those extra rented chairs, Mr. Barber?
Mr. Lacey will bring them in his station wagon.
Aye-ho. Hazel, I'm home.
I'm in the tub, Dan.
Hi. It's 5:45.
I know.
They'll start to arrive by 7, or even earlier.
I know. There are 3 total strangers here now. They're down in the rumpus room.
Is this what you're going to wear?
Don't you like it?
Oh, sure. Kind of inconspicuous, though.
Good. I hope to blend into the woodwork. Wait, I'll get out. Did they tell you it's up to 102 people?
Yeah, we'll have enough.
The last call was from a group of 7 women from Illinois whom Babe Duckworth met in a saloon.
Now, Hazel, it was not a saloon.
Yes, it was, Dan.
Aren't you coming out?
As soon as I'm dried and powdered and presentable.
I know all about those women. These are sporting good buyers, and their wives are here for a convention. And if Babe hadn't asked them, I would.
Fine, they're coming for sure.
And she saw them in the grill at the St. Francis. Not a saloon at all. Perfectly respectable hotel. In fact, one of the best.
Well, when she'd been in the saloon earlier, she said, "Oh, Hazel, some dear, dear friends of mine."
Okay, okay, but she'll be fine by tonight. Quaid said he'd take her home early and see that she got some sleep.
Yes, come in.
Mrs. Murray?
Yes, Evelyn?
There's a gentleman here in his dinner jacket, and he says he's come to mix the fruit punch.
From the caterer?
No, ma'am. It's Mr. Duckworth.
Quaid. Oh.
Yes, sir. He's in the kitchen in his evening clothes and won't put on an apron.
Is Mrs. Duckworth with him?
No, ma'am. Mrs. Duckworth, she's getting dressed at home. He's going to go get her after he mixes our fruit punch. She wants some bigger bowls.
Dan.
I'll go down and supervise it.
And make sure...
I will, Hazel. Please don't worry about it. I've had it at Quaid's house. It's mostly charged water and fruit juice. Quaid!
Close the doors, Evelyn, will you? For a moment.
Yes, ma'am. You dizzy?
I was. I'll be all right. I want you to help zip up my dress and back, if you don't mind.
Yes, you just hang on to the bureau. No wonder the way you've been going. It's hard enough to get acquainted with the caterers, let alone keep track of guests you never met. So just hang on and take it easy.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Barber Sr. was here with extra dishes and more napkins and more forks and knives. And Mr. Nicholas Lacey, he's here with the chairs. So we'll be ready for almost anything.
Zeppelin, what became of a package from the Boomis Winery?
Boomis Winery? Oh, yeah, those cases. I didn't know they were for tonight. But they put them in the basement.
Oh, thanks.
How many were there?
I didn't count. Quite a few. I thought it was for all year. Maybe I better zip you up now, Mrs. Murray. I might be needed downstairs. Yes?
Hazel, I'm here. What can I do?
Oh, Mother, so good of you to come early.
If you're going to be here, ma'am, I'll go down and get busy. You can zip her up.
Oh, well, you do that, Zeppelin. That kitchen is so crowded.
It's going pretty smooth, though. There's a head caterer named Arthur. He's a good executive. Excuse me, I'll close the door. You take it easy, Miss Murray.
I think the house looks lovely.
Yes. Father's flowers do help. Though I heard one of the caterers say out of the corner of his mouth, let's see the bodies first.
Mm.
They seem to be a terribly efficient, cynical group of people.
Oh, you're wearing that one.
Don't you like it either?
Seems conservative. After all, you're the hostess.
And I should wear identifying colors to help the guests I don't know.
Yes, come in. Mr. Murray is busy with Mr. Duckworth making the fruit punch, and that man you don't ever want to see again is on the front porch ringing and ringing the doorbell.
What man?
That wrestler friend of Miss Penny's, Mr. X somebody. The one that says he's from L.A. trying to make all new friends.
Oh, no!
He says he's looking for Miss Penny and he's come to help.
Zeppelin, that'll be more than I can stand. I want Mr. Corn out of here. Tell Mr. Murray to drop everything and handle it at once. Get him out.
Yes, ma'am. But it sure looks like a problem. He's friendly as a puppy, and he plans to stay and dance with all the ladies. He says he does rock and roll real good.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
With your permission, there's something I'd like to talk about for a minute. You know, too many times, people try to escape from their responsibilities by having someone else take them over. There was Miles Standish, for example. He was much too busy to ask Priscilla to marry him, so he sent John Alden to pop the question for him. You know what happened. John ended up marrying the girl himself. Of course, if John had had a face like a flat tire instead of being the handsome guy he was, maybe Miles Standish would have married Priscilla instead. Well, actually, I don't know what got me started on this subject, and unless it was my thinking about people who represent somebody else. Take our State Department, for example. Being a representative is one of its biggest jobs. Through the Foreign Service, it helps the Justice and Treasury Departments handle immigration, narcotic, and quarantine problems. And the Secretaries of Agriculture and Commerce look to the Secretary of State to help keep their fingers on the pulse of foreign markets so they can keep the business firms and farmers of America informed on matters of import and export. I guess the only connection between these facts and the courtship of Miles Standish is that, like John Alden, our State Department speaks for itself.
It's 9 o'clock now in the Henry Barber Library, 13 doors away. The old gentleman found the party too boisterous for his taste.
Eh? Who came in? Oh, Penelope.
Hello, Grandfather. Is Uncle Paul upstairs?
I thought he was at the party.
Nobody's seen him for the last half hour.
How did you tear your dress?
That big ape, Louis Corrin, turned up and won't leave.
Who? Oh, the wrestler. Yes, yes. I heard he was in the rumpus room. I didn't go down there.
He wasn't invited and he won't leave, and they all blame me for it. I can't help it if he follows me around. You can't reach his mind. He's the dumbest man I've ever seen.
They call it points drunk. Did he see you come over here?
He was dancing with Mrs. Duckworth.
When I left, there weren't so many dancing. Most were like flies around the punch bowl.
The house is so hot, they're all thirsty.
Yes, yes. Something's wrong with the furnace.
Well, it's a vicious circle. The hotter they get, the thirstier they get. And the thirstier they get, the...
I know. That's why we came home.
Oh, Grandmother's here, too.
Certainly. I wouldn't think of leaving her at a party like this. Do I hear sirens?
Excuse me, I'll go to the front door.
Yes, yes. Well, it seems to be coming in this direction. Is it a fire? Yeah, why don't you answer? Is it a fire?
Grandfather, look! It's police squad! squad car is stopping in front of Aunt Hazel.
What is it, Henry? What's happened?
I don't know for sure, Fanny, but I have a terrible feeling we'll be able to read about it in the morning papers.
More of the Barbers in just a moment.
Get the picture. Are you taking a high school or college correspondence course through USAFE? Or are you planning to in the near future? If you are, then this announcement is for you. Several courses offered by USAFE may now be studied two different ways at the same time. Confusing? Not at all. The first method of study is through the regular correspondence course. The second is by means of USAFE's telecourses, or courses on film. That's right. You can attend classes in your own recreation room, library, or any other building in which a standard 16-millimeter projector can be set up to run the film. These courses are being distributed for the use of correspondence students who have no teachers available, or whose teachers wish to use the films as additional teaching material. The half-hour classes vary in number from 12 to 20, depending on the subject. Why not take advantage of these films to increase your knowledge and understanding? Ask your education officer for details, then enroll with USAFE and let a telecourse be your guide.
It's 2 o'clock now. At the Murray's vast establishment, 13 doors down Seacliff Drive, the last guests and the last policeman have gone, and Daniel Murray, the host, goes uneasily into the bedroom.
Hazel, I told them I wouldn't prefer any charges if they just get the big ape out of here.
Never mind.
I didn't even know Babe Duckworth was here. I thought she was home asleep. But apparently after he'd made the fruit punch, Quaid went home and got her.
Just never mind.
Jack says she danced all evening with that big ape. You see, I didn't know. She was dancing with him when I called the police. How could I know she'd fight the officers when I didn't even know she was here?
Dan, there's just one thing we can say about this party. Being a business affair, it's deductible. Beyond that, it was a shambles. And let me tell you one thing. Any more business entertaining, go hire yourself a fight arena.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse, and features J. Anthony Smythe, Bernice Berwin, Paige Gilman, Russell Forson, and Mary Adams. One Man's Family has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 11, Book 130, Interesting Events Coming Up. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California.
One Man's Family has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.